nothing but three things.
Okay, children, let's take our seats. We have a lot to learn today.
What are we gonna do?
Are you paying attention?
I anticipate a deeply religious experience.
Out, come out, wherever you are.
Okay, people, pay attention because I do not want to have to fail you.
Listen to this.
I will tell you three things.
Listen to me, please.
Pay attention.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
You moron.
Don't you listen to me?
Listen to me.
Listen to me, Coppertop.
I'm out there on the front lines liberating people.
I keep pitching them and you keep missing them.
Hey,
listen to me, yo.
Are you ready now? Yes.
Listen to me, please.
Three things. Parental guidance is suggested.
Hello.
Greetings and welcome to Three Things this week. I hope this day finds you well. I'm your host, Jenna, and I'm super happy that you've joined me today. So this month, that's May, is Military Appreciation Month in the USA. I myself am a WMD. No. Not a weapon of mass destruction, although when my Texan comes out, it can be bad. I'm the widow, mother, and daughter of United States Marines. Needless to say, this month means a lot to me. And I will start this episode by telling any of my daughter Samantha's brothers and sisters from the Corps, not only thank you for your service, but also that you all have my unending love and respect. I may not have my Sam any longer, but I have all of you, and I appreciate you all more than you know. Of course, this thanks includes members of the other U.S. Armed Forces as well. I just love my Marines the best. And now, I will stop with the gushing, and as Sam would say, in true Marine fashion, suck it up, Buttercup, and get to the show. Thing number one for today is all about inner space, like the innerest spaces we can get on Earth, or should I say, in Earth. Scientists now think that there is an ancient ocean floor, which comprises a whole previously only hinted at layer between the mantle and the core of the planet, which may cover the entire boundary of the core and mantle. If the new data produced by studying earthquakes is correct, there's a whole nother layer to how we understand our Earth. In a study led by some folks from Arizona State University, the University of Alabama, and the University of Leeds, researchers went to and fro from Antarctica four times, collecting 3 years worth of seismic data from stations across that continent. The data from which allowing them to map seismic waves from earthquakes to create a high-res image of the interior of the Earth. Images from the data show that between the outer core's molten metallic layer and the mantle sits a dense yet thick sunken ocean floor, which likely slid deeper underground with the shifting of the Earth's plates over time. This layer can range anywhere from 3 miles to over 25 miles in thickness. That pretty much means that there are mountains on the core itself, some up to 5 times higher than Mount Everest. This adds another intriguing facet to the study, as the position of this molten layer below this newfound ocean floor means that underground mountains might have a key role in determining how quickly, geologically speaking, of course, heat escapes from the core. And even more, while speaking of the interior of Earth, specifically the layers of it, it was announced very recently that the inner core of the Earth actually has yet another inner layer as well. A big old ball of mainly iron. Earth might not be getting any larger, but the number of layers to it certainly is. The grandiloquent word of the day today starts with the letter C. That word is concupiscent. Concupiscent is an adjective which means all-powerful, omnipotent. It comes from the Latin concupiscens, cunctus meaning all, and potens meaning powerful. Used in quite possibly the snottiest, longest-running sentence I've personally ever written, but I had a great time doing it, and this one definitely deserves a drum roll. My own personal cacospectomania kicked in hard as I watched a Cretaceous crambasil named Charles overcome any hint of chrysophobia he might ever have had, which I'm sure he didn't, to climb into his chryselephantine carriage to attend his coronation and be crowned king. After awaiting his own chrysocracy, what must have seemed in his cucurbitaceous brain pan to have been a chiliad, though he at least had the conceivably capernoided queen consort Camilla to give couser while he waited to become comfortably concupiscent. And no, before any of my lovely British listeners talking to you, Barry, get all angry pants at me, I don't hate the British royalty. Frankly, it's none of my business, and I couldn't give any less of a fuck if they stay or don't stay royal, whatever that really means. But I do think royalty is a bit dorky in this modern world, just my opinion, which, like assholes, we all have.
Sure, when it comes to sex, you're responsible, but now they're marketing big-size condoms, and frankly, you'd need a belt and suspenders to keep one on. Well, don't be embarrassed. Hot Dog House now offers regular-size condoms with big-size package names.
Bob, you dropped something from your wallet.
Oh, my God, it's
here. Oh, the Hindenburg.
Only kind I use.
Order your regular-size condoms from Hot Dog House with names that give you confidence. The Jolly Mean Giant, Cruise Missile, Pike's Peak, Superdome. Only you'll know the real story, but for a while.
So, why is there a munchkin riding in the Hindenburg?
Ding number zwei für heute ist listening to a tree. Like really listening with equipment and stuff. The tree in question is named Pando, and Pando doesn't just look like one freaking giant like the mighty sequoias. No, it looks like a whole ass grove of trees. But Pando started out life with a single seed and now has more than 40,000 stems, which grow from a single root system, but pokes up out of the ground looking like single trees. The beautiful, shimmering and quaking aspen, Pando, whose name means I spread in Latin, is one of the largest life forms on Earth. Around a year ago, a sound artist named Jeff Rice went to visit Pando and to record Pando's voice. He didn't record it just to make art either. It turns out that his recordings are a baseline, a marker in time of the place, the species, and the environmental health of not only Pando, but the whole region. Rice first wanted to capture the sound of the brilliant fluttering lime green leaves, so he stuck tiny contact microphones to some large summer leaves, and this is what he heard. The percussive quality of that sound made him wonder about the amount of vibration within the tree, so he set out to capture that sound during a thunderstorm, when the leaves were likely to make a lot of vibrations. He hunkered down during a particularly dramatic storm and got to recording. He was lucky enough to have found an incredible opening in one of the stem/trees, which he has dubbed the Pando Portal, into which he lowered a microphone until it made contact with the massive root tangle below. This is the sound of the vibrations passing through the branches and into the ground, which Pando gave to him. He said that, quote, as soon as the wind would blow and the leaves would start to vibrate, you would hear this amazing low rumble. It's almost like the whole earth is vibrating, end quote. Rice went on to also capture the crackling sounds made by Pando's bark, and here is that fascinating sound. And lastly, the bed or landscape in and around and of Pando. Here's that sound, which makes me want to have a little nappy nap. I am utterly and completely fascinated by these sounds, and I'm also glad that someone decided to see what trees are saying, particularly this leviathan of a tree. And more, using methods like sound recordings to map root systems of plants here on Earth might just come in handy if we ever get to another planet. If plants exist on another world, they might be people eaters. We don't know. If they are, though, it'd be a good thing to be able to map where they are and where they aren't, right? And now for the TIDIH. That's TDIH, this day in history. That would be May 15th. In 1953, the journal Science published the Urey Miller experiment, which showed how life on our Big Blue Marble might have arisen thanks to water vapor, hydrogen, ammonia, methane, and various types of silicates, many of which are also found on other rocky worlds. I'm just saying, if it can happen here, it might happen anywhere. You know what that means, right? We most probably are not alone. I just hope that the others out there have sweet space-crossing ships to visit us, because we're not quite interstellar travel-y yet. In 1856, American author L. Frank Baum was born. He wrote The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Did you know that there are actually 14 books about the world of Oz? The eighth one is called TikTok of Oz. It's even spelled T-I-K-T-O-K. That's pretty cool, I think. American poet Emily Dickinson died on May 15th in 1886 in Amherst, Massachusetts. Such fun to say. Of many quotable lines she penned, a most memorable one, and a good one to keep in mind in rough times is, quote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul." That's a lovely mantra. On this day in the year 1252, Pope Innocent IV issued the papal bull Ad Extirpanda, which authorized, with a few limits, the torture of heretics during the medieval Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
In 1536, Anne Boleyn and her brother Lord Rochford, also known as George, standing accused of incest and adultery, were executed. May 15, 1618 was the day that German astronomer Johannes Kepler discovered his harmonics law, the third of his three laws of planetary motion. The world's first machine gun was patented on this day in 1718, by a British lawyer named James Puckle. The 25.4 caliber Puckle gun was meant for use on ships. The ammunition for the Puckle gun came in two types, a round bullet for Christians and a square bullet, which is more damaging, for Turks. I think this guy might have been a real asshole with that bullet thing. In 1783, one Diego Marin Aguilera made one of the first not-in-a-balloon flights. he flew a glider at a height of about 6 meters for approximately 300 meters. That's close to 1,000 feet. That's flying. In 1905, Las Vegas was born when the railroad company that had just linked Los Angeles and Salt Lake City auctioned off 110 acres of land. And look at it now. On May 15th in 1930, Ellen Church and her team became the first airline stewardesses. They served drinks and snacks on a United Airlines flight from Oakland to Chicago. They also had the responsibility of checking tickets, handling luggage, and refueling the aircraft. 1933 got a little louder in the U.S. Senate. That's when its first voice amplification system started being used, because everyone needed to be able to hear the complete bullshit that goes on in there, right? In 1940, Maurice Mack and Richard Dick McDonald opened McDonald's Barbecue in San Bernardino, California. Ludicrously large fast food empire that we all know in the USA as Mickey D's. USA's neighbor to the north calls it McDixie. Down in Oz, they call it Macos. Freaking love Australia. In Deutschland, nennt man es Macos. Hong Kong folks call it Mac-Ki. In France, McDo. In Japan, they call it Maku, which I'm gonna call it now. Even though I never go near it, I'm still gonna call it that as I drive past. May 15th, 1963, was the launch of the Faith 7, the last Project Mercury flight, with L. Gordon Cooper aboard. The 15th of May in 1970 was the day that Anna Mae Hayes was named the USA's first female brigadier general. In 2021, China landed its Zhurong rover on Utopia Planitia, Mars. According to a study from the Chinese Academy Sciences Institute of Geology and Geophysics, they found evidence of liquid water on low-latitude Martian dunes. The third thing for today is about a passion of mine, which I've decided to be more vocal about. It's cannabis in all of its glory, and there's a lot of gloriousness about cannabis. This story is about a big old myth concerning the lovely green earth friend. It's been long tagged with the disparaging "it's a gateway drug" thing. First, let me say that I don't think cannabis is even a drug at all. Crack, meth, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, those are drugs. Cannabis is a blessing from the planet. We have receptors in our brain that it fits into as snugly as a bugly in a rugly. We are both of Earth. That is to say, we are both naturally of Earth. No one has to do anything sciencey or chemically to get the many benefits of cannabis. Just pick it, dry it, and smoke it. And yes, I know there are a lot of other things people do to and with it. I'm just saying that it is already, in its natural form, ready to use right off the plant. So recently, a study was published in which researchers helped to dispel the idea that cannabis is a gateway that leads to the use of hard drugs. This study showed that legalizing weed does not, in fact, lead people to other substances, and it doesn't lead to an increase in abuse of substances with or without cannabis or other substances. The study actually found that cannabis legalization might in fact lead to a decrease in problems related to the abuse of alcohol. You know, alcohol. That not only can really fuck up a life, it can and does kill. Pot? Not so much. This whole idiotic gateway drug theory got started in the 1970s when the super stupid War on Drugs campaign was started. It was started to supposedly curb usage of drugs in the USA, but it was really a way to target people of color to incarcerate them en masse, which is completely fucked up no matter how you slice it. This bullshit still goes on today and needs to freaking stop. Cannabis has long been touted as a gateway drug by prohibitionists in order to keep the waters muddy and block efforts to legalize across the USA, but this study is helping to put the kibosh on that bullshit narrative, giving real weight to the movement to legalize. This study pulled data from two different studies lasting decades at the University of Minnesota and the University of Colorado, which looked at over 4,000 twins, 40% of which lived in Colorado, where recreational weed is available, and 60% in Minnesota, where it is not yet. Using twins in the study controls for a wide range of variables, including social background, age, early home life, and even genetic inheritance. Test subjects were studied at two different time points, before 2014, when dispensaries were first opened in Colorado, and after. The study measured for tobacco, alcohol, cannabis, and illicit substance usage, also including mental health. Co-author of the study, Dr. Christian Hopfer, said, quote, "For low-level cannabis use, which was the majority of users in adults, legalization does not appear to increase the risk of substance use disorders," end quote. This was found to be the case for both cannabis and other substances. There was also no connection found between legalization and psychological, cognitive, financial, social, or relationship problems in individuals. Adding the intervention and prevention of cannabis abuse would be best targeted on real risk factors like mental health disorders, family history, and the like, rather than on the availability of safe, legal cannabis. This study is important because even though the cannabis being a gateway drug crap is falling a bit from the current narrative, it still exists and is still used by prohibitionists in every stupid argument against legalization. Continuing to study, disprove, and dispel that type of thinking is important and can lead to legalizing cannabis for recreational use in more states and, in the fullness of time, the federal government. The Fed needs to be on board with legalization for a few reasons, one of which would be the benefit of oversight, so that consumers of cannabis can be sure what is in their cannabis products. Another is the fact that more research will be done on the plant, offering even more understanding of both the effects and the benefits. The authors of the study note that even if legalization doesn't lead to substance abuse problems, either with cannabis or other substances, more research is needed, particularly the potency of THC, consumption patterns, and dosages. I'm a cannabis lover, period, but it sure would be nice to not feel hinky about using it. I've lived in places where it is legal and where it isn't. I prefer to live where it is legal, but I'ma enjoy the lovely green lady either way.
Now old Mr. Johnson had troubles of his own. He had a yellow cat who wouldn't leave his home. He tried and he tried to give the cat away. He gave it to a man going far, far away. But the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was the gutter, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, go. Now the man around the corner swore he'd kill the cat on sight. So he loaded up his shotgun with nails and dynamite. He waited and he waited for the cat to come around. 97 pieces of the man is all that they found. But you know. The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, ghost. So he gave it to a man going up in a balloon. He told him for to take it to the man in the moon. The balloon came down about 90 miles away. Where the man is now, well, I dare not say. But you know, the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, ghost. So he gave it to a man going way out west. He told him for to take it to the one he loved the best. First the train hit the track, then it jumped a rail. Not a soul was left behind to tell the gruesome tale. But you know what? The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, ghost. Now the cat was the possessor of a family of his own, with seven little kittens, till there came a cyclone. It tore the houses all apart and tossed the cat around. The air was filled with kittens, but not one was ever found. The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was the goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, ghost. Sing it all again. Now the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was the goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away. Give me a meow, ghost. Louder, meow!
Meow!
Louder!
Meow!
A little quieter.
Meow!
Quieter, meow.
Meow.
Quieter now.
Meow.
Quieter.
Meow.
Shh, as quiet as you can.
Ting. Number 4 for today. Yes, there's an extra one this week.
Whatever, I'll do what I want.
Here's some Space Casey stuff happening in places recently. First, in Hopewell Township, New Jersey, something crashed through a roof, smashed up a hardwood floor, and bounced about a bedroom before it stopped. Experts visually inspected, used a scanning electron microscope, and made density measurements to confirm the find, and announced recently that it was, indeed, a 6x4 inch, or 10.2 by 15.2 centimeter, true chondrite meteorite, weighing 2.2 pounds, or just shy of a kilogram. Students and professors in the physics department of a nearby college were thrilled for the opportunity to study the rare chondrite rock, which was in excellent condition. I wonder exactly what that means. It's a rock. Homeowner Susie Kopp said they thought at first that someone had just randomly thrown a rock into an upstairs bedroom, but they soon realized that wasn't the case when they found the potato-sized black rock in a corner of the room, and it was still warm. I want to touch it still warm. That would be awesome. Fortunately, there was no serious damage to the house, and no one was hurt, and hazmat officials did come out to the house to check for radioactive exposure, and maybe space bugs, I don't know. Some pretty cool movies start with rocks from space. In Enid, Oklahoma, police responded to a call for help. They walked slowly and carefully through the woods and grasses of a farm, searching for the person they could hear crying faintly. One officer said to the other, "That's a person," as the noise seemed to escalate. They began running, responding to more urgent calls, thinking perhaps someone was trapped by farm equipment. They came upon the maker of the noise at last. It was a fucking goat. If you've never heard one, particularly an annoyed one, I'm here to tell you it can totally sound human. Apparently, the farmer who owns the goat had had two males in the same barn, and so he moved one from the barn, and this apparently went super against the wishes of said goat, and it made its displeasure known. The department wrote of the incident, "You can't really say it was that bad of a call." In Chatham Township, New Jersey, they have a real problem, and it's another freaking goat. This one is not just a goat with the grumps. Nope. This goat is a peeping goat. Police are actively searching for this goat, which has been seen all over the township. This goat wanders the town, showing up at doors and peering into people's homes. At least he's armed with only his horns, though. That's good. Police are asking people not to try and apprehend the goat. They know who owns the goat, and they are on the case of the peeping goat. At least folks up there are funny. One person said, "Officially on the lam, huh?" Another one said, "This is a bad situation." One kind apparent animal advocate was worried about the legal rights of the goat, saying, "Didn't you mean the alleged peeping goat?" Another cheeky little monkey said, "Jeez, I hope a cop on the bleat locates him." To the west of the beautiful island of Ibiza, in the Mediterranean Sea, a Spanish Navy ship called the Malaspina was working on updating nautical charts for safer navigation, but she got herself stranded in shallows. Thankfully, no structural damage could be seen upon initial inspection anyway, so removal of the vessel would be carried out soon. The Malaspina was built in 1975, refurbished in 2007, and has sailed nearly 290,000 kilometers, or about 180,000 miles, collecting data on the undersea topography along the coast of Spain. The ship is named for Royal Navy Brigadier Alejandro Malaspina, who was famous for having led the largest scientific expedition in his time in the 18th century. Translated into English, Malaspina means having a bad feeling. Aye, aye. Or is it aye, aye, aye? And it seems now that I'm going right back to New Jersey. What the fuck with that place right now? In Old Bridge, New Jersey, authorities have been scratching their noggins and noodling over an interesting mystery. Who the fuck dumped hundreds of pounds of pasta, including macaroni and spaghetti, near a stream? While the oodles of noodles have been cleaned up, the mystery of who dumped the pasta, which was apparently raw when it was left to make its own way in the wild, apparently. Of course, heavy rain soaked and softened the lumps of pasta, giving it the appearance of having been cooked. There were no public health issues and no environmental damage, so the matter is closed. The question remains, though, who dumped it and the fuck why? Well, I'm grinning like an idiot right now as I record this because I've had some guesses as to the mystery sound from episode 1 of season 2 of Three Things, and none of them were correct guesses. So that particular mystery remains remaining. It's the same for the mystery sound from last week's episode as well, and while I'm tickled pink that no one has guessed either sound, I still, at least a third of me or so, a little bit of me, want someone to guess them. Here are the sounds once again. You can email your guests or guesses to me at threethingspod@gmail.com, message or comment on your current listening app or platform, or leave them in the comments on the homepage of the show, threethings.podomatic.com. That's the number three, the word things, .podomatic.com. I look forward to more guesses. Well, that's the show for this week, and I hope that you, beautiful listener, found it enjoyable. Remember to thank a military member, or all of them, this month. They deserve a damn sight more than thanks, but for real, they should, at the very least, get thanks. You, sugar ears, also deserve something. You deserve to feel good about yourself, because people who feel good about themselves are far more likely to feel good about others. It's a circle, you see? Nice circle. So to that end, go find something that will reflect your eyes to you. Look deep inside those beautiful peepers of yours. Forgive what's in you that might need to be forgiven on this day. And be happy. Hasta la vista, baby. Or, you know, good day, y'all.
Oh, crap! What the hell do you think you're doing?
All in all, I'd say we've been very lucky around here. Nothing to do now but wait for orders from the authorities and relax.
Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off.
Nip it in the bud.
We're getting screwed.
The subject was booked under Section 601, in danger of leading an idle, dissolute, or immoral life.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Cut it out!
Go on, leave! Get out!
Goodbye, you lazy, big-nosed, rubber-faced bastard.
This disc will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
It's dead, Jim.
We didn't do anything like that.
Scotty, beat me up.
And like that,